I was just talking to Billy about like fasting again, and I was telling him that I feel like downloading the apps and just having some like check-in might be a good idea to get back on things because
Weight Watchers
tracking
kept
is,
messaging me.
yeah.
You can
Well,
do
the
it.
DoorDash keeps
Just track
messaging
today. We
me.
have things for you. Don't forget. It's like off.
Welcome to Talk Like a Mother Parenting Autism Podcast. We are Jen, Kim, Rachel, and Jamie. Take a seat at our table as we share with hope, humor, and honesty.
Thank you for joining us. This is a standalone episode where we're going to talk about our experience and just our general thoughts around weight loss and food, and specifically the role that's played in our lives as women slash mothers and slash caregivers. So yeah, I feel like this came up a lot in the self-love series, which I think is telling of what we associate a lot of this stuff with for ourselves as the four of us. I won't speak for all women in general, but I feel like it does come up a lot for women. And I feel like the older we get, and especially, you know, a beautiful thing about having children is you kind of lose yourself in that, but with that loss, you kind of can't focus on those things as much as you maybe want to or could have before. Anyway, so for me personally, I think the weight loss thing, and I talked about in an episode before how I just was always a skinny person naturally and nothing to do. I wasn't like the healthiest kid. I was an active child and I played sports and stuff, but it's like I was eating whatever. As I got older, I definitely, that metabolism has slowed down. And so it's like an insecurity thing for me, but it's also very much a health thing for me now that I have kids, now that I worry about that future. But there's just times I go back and forth on it so much. I know Jen's talked about all the diets she's tried and I've done a lot, and I'm at this point in my life, although I've been at this point many times, I'm really just trying to get to a place of like balance. And a lot like was always talking about the intuitive eating and stuff like that, where I'm not so wrapped up in the weight loss, or if I am losing weight, it's like natural consequence of my lifestyle that I'm just treating my body better and healthier. I think in my 20s and my 30s, in the beginning of my 30s, I'm still in my 30s, it was a lot like, oh, I gotta drop this weight. I gotta like be skinnier and I'll feel better about myself. And I'll tell you, like, at the beginning of last year, you guys know I lost about 20 pounds last year and I still don't feel bad about myself because I wasn't, it was a result of doing healthier things. And I will say I didn't go too crazy in any which way. I did do like keto here and there to like get to that next, like below whatever the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, I still wasn't taking care of like my inner self or doing it necessarily. Like I wasn't making sure I was like getting all the nutrients and all that stuff that I need. And so now my concern is like, okay, I gotta live longer. It's hard. I've tried it all.
Well, I get the extreme part. I mean, I'm all or nothing and I'm trying to find balance without, I mean, I've been honest. I did Ozempic and I lost a lot of weight and I actually think I might've gotten a little too thin. I'm definitely not sitting in that bracket now. I was like, oh, I'll just try to put on 5 to 7 pounds and I'll sit in a good weight. Well, then that doubled. And then all of a sudden it's just like, you know, so you go into that. But I feel for me, and I was thinking about it earlier, it's like, I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not dieting now. Like I'm, and for me, it kind of gives me structure. And I don't know if that makes sense, but like, I know exactly what I have to do. And I log it all in my phone, in my app. And I'm very, very rigid when I'm in, like, I'm not, there's no, well, I'll just have a cookie or I'll just have a drink. I'm 100% in or out. But for me, I kind of thrive on the structure of knowing that, like, this is what I need to do. If, I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Like, I totally get that because, like, once you learn it, it's hard work getting there. But, like, once you get there, it takes less of your brain to do that because you just have to be like, okay, I know I can eat this and this and this. It doesn't, I don't have to, like, constantly research.
Do you mean that
I can.
Eventually you stop looking up a banana? You know, you can't have it. Whatever.
Well,
yeah.
And I know that I can add it in my head.
Yes.
For me, it's literally the accountability of logging it into the app and seeing my day.
Well, it's nice to just look at that and be like, oh, something is managing this for me because I can't necessarily on my own all the time.
Yeah.
I wonder if the keto, like once you learned your macros and like how to enter and you knew like to type Rao's organic, not organic Rao's to get the right numbers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if that harkens back to Weight Watchers and maybe even more different diet plans that are super structured like that. Like you can and you cannot have this, like low carb, like there's a lot of portion size and stuff that isn't just keto.
I'm worse at, like I did Weight Watchers with Jen last year and I eventually got to that place where it was like, okay. But then once I got it down, I was like, well, I'm not going to log anymore because I just know it. But like for me, the reason I would like keto for a while, even though it was hard, like giving up carbs because they're the best thing in the world. It was like, oh, I just know. I know what has carbs and I know what doesn't have carbs. So I just do it. I was never good about logging that. Like, so that's like my, I'm like just a different person in that way where it's like, I don't want to take the long time to log everything. I just know that like I can eat this piece of bacon. It's not the greatest thing for me, but it doesn't have carbs.
I feel like when I get to that point is when I stop lying to myself and manipulating myself. I think at one point I was weaving through like these three different diets. Like, well, I'm keto for breakfast, but for lunch, I might be low carb.
But I also do believe that there's a certain weight your body wants to sit at. And I've kind of been saying that for a couple of years. Like my body likes to be at a certain number. Thank gosh, I'm not quite there yet.
My body must be at the, this is the weight to lay down, not to sit at.
It seems to just want to sit at a certain kind of weight. And I'm trying like the whole, like I get the intuitive eating. It's good for your body. But like Rachel was just saying about knowing organic, you know, versus regular. So an example is organic frozen mango on Weight Watchers is a lot of freaking points. The great value crap from Walmart is 0 points. It's like, I want to be healthy, but I don't want the freaking points. Olive oil, organic olive oil is 5 points per tablespoon. It's one on the shit stuff. So it's like healthy versus low points. You know, it's like this sort
of. I think there's so many diet plans or lifestyles or whatever that you'd want to say that like you have to lean in. It's like, you know, low carb doesn't mean the same as keto and keto doesn't mean the same as Atkins and Atkins doesn't mean the same as Weight Watchers. And I'm starting to age myself. I just don't know what to say, but it's like, you know, like the Mediterranean diet is not the same as eating whatever. It's like, they're all different. So you have to lean on whether this is the low fat kind of diet or the full fat kind of diet. And that this kind of diet versus that.
Has anybody done the Mediterranean diet? Have you ever done that, Jen?
No, but Jamie has. And then after I'm going to talk about something Rachel mentioned.
I've done the Mediterranean diet. Me and Isaac did it like a year and a half ago. I can't remember now. Go through. But that it's for me. And the reason we chose to do the Mediterranean diet, which I'm actually trying to get back to that, is not really for weight loss as much as it's a really good nutrient-based health diet for you. And it's really good for your heart. And that's a big concern for me. I have this thing that is actually more of a chest inflammation thing, but it feels like I'm having a heart attack. Anyway, it's weird. But anyway, I'm more prone to have heart issues because of it. So heart health is really important for me. So I know that that diet is really good. And if you watch, I mean, if you talk
literally
to any
the
doctor,
number one
doctor,
rated diet worldwide,
any doctor will tell you
year over year.
Yeah, that Neil's doctor highly recommends.
You're not going to drop really weight super fast or anything like that, but overall, you'll be eating healthier and hopefully because of that.
He said it's really good for diabetes too. But like when I look it up, it's so confusing. I'm like, I don't understand this. So
well, it's like just so not the way we eat in this country. So it's like, It's a big difference.
Let's Rachel just say you were a girl in the Midwest. I'm sorry, Jen. Let's just say you were a girl in the Midwest that just drinks coffee all day and night. What could you give me like the shorty on what the Mediterranean is since it's the number one? Like, what's the baseline? It's like lots of healthy fats and greens.
A lot of veggies, isn't it, James?
Yeah, it's a lot of veggies. It's very plant-based, but you can have meat. So you just don't eat a ton of red meat. Fish is really big in it. I'm not a big fish person.
Foundation of the Mediterranean diet is plant foods. That means meals are built around vegetables, fruits, herbs, nuts, beans, and whole grains. Moderate amounts of dairy, poultry, and eggs are part of the Mediterranean diet, as is seafood. In contrast, red meat is only eaten once in a while.
I guess it depends if you do like a Mediterranean program thing, but it's not really like that. It's just like you change the way you eat. So it's a lot of fish, a lot of nuts. Beans are big.
Extra virgin olive oil, which is so healthy,
huge on omega-3s, and like you can have like some dairy, like cheese and yogurt and stuff like that, but you don't go like huge on it. So like
mushrooms for mental health boost. Mushrooms,
oh girl,
not those, Rachie, talk about the store ones. Those ones you buy at the Safeway. Those are the ones you're talking about in there. Don't anyone run out and get the magic mushroom. I want to clarify. Not a medical podcast.
Oh my God.
But it's basically getting your proteins a lot from like beans, nuts, and stuff like that. But you also can have like chicken and fish, and you can have whatever you want, but it's really like that being the base of your diet,
mm-hmm.
helping with your heart, blood sugar, everything.
Rachel asked me before we went live, because I did something called Dr. Bernstein, which oddly enough, if you Google it now, they're no longer allowed to practice. But I'm just saying, they were this clinic.
Red flag.
Yeah. There was very few of the clinics. They were obscenely expensive. It was about $2,300 for an 8-week cycle. You went in every single morning, 3 or 4 times. It was like they gave you a schedule. You got a shot, B12, B6, and then another concoction, which was proprietary. So it was never, but they were doctors and nurses on staff. But you ate 650 calories a day. But I know, crazy, because that's not sustainable. But what was crazy about it is the injections
is
they were giving
like
you.
Is that like having green tea and celery?
It was insane. The food, there was no food. But the vitamins they put in you, my nails were spectacular. My hair had never looked so good. My skin, you were so full of energy.
I didn't take a shit for 3 months.
You're so full of energy. I lost an obscene amount of weight in a very short cycle of time. Of course, you gain it all back immediately. But the thing about Bernstein is the B12 and the B6, which they do a lot in infertility clinics. Fertility clinics, they do a lot of B12 and stuff. I was told most likely, I was actually going for testing to see if I could have children on a Tuesday, found out I was actually pregnant on a Thursday. And my doctor's like, I'm telling you, something to do with those shots, with the B12 and the B6, because that's what they pump in your body when you do in vitro.
So I did a similar diet to that, very similar, yeah. But I was injecting myself with HCG. Which,
yes, I was
it's very similar to that, Jamie. It's very
most
similar.
Of you know, so that's the pregnancy hormone. So this is like, so my sister's friend was like doing this it would seem like now it's like a pyramid scheme dieting. I don't know what exactly it was. I can't remember the name of it, but like you were on this super strict diet because you're injecting yourself with HCG. Mm-hmm. So your body thinks you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
This is how messed this is. So, you know, when you're pregnant, you are burning calories like crazy, but you're also like supplementing that with food and all this stuff because you're having, you're making a life.
I don't think I did that, but
Dr. Bernstein, they urine tested you to make sure you weren't cheating.
I could have been urine tested. I would have probably come up pregnant. Like during, it was insane. I did this the year I was graduating college. Cause I remember like you could have a cheat meal every once in a while. And it's like that day we went and had like pizza. But I was self-injecting myself with this HCG daily, and it was HCG mixed with B12, I believe, B6 or B12, one of them. And it's the craziest thing I think I've ever done as a diet. I lost a lot of weight. I look back to when I thought I was fat back then, and there was no way I needed to do this diet. And I only did it for like maybe 2 months, but it was literally like the only carb thing you could have at all. Like you couldn't even cook with oil. Like you had to use like water on the pan if you were making like egg whites or something. You could have those really thin like breadsticks, you know, like the crunchy ones that come in.
Oh yeah, they look like
I could have like 4 of those a day, and I would like eat it. Like I've never done a crazy diet since that. That was insane. Like
so, it was very similar to Bernstein, and they pee test. Like you had to do urine samples every time you came in because they would test them because they were so strict about. Like you would be, so I lost 36 pounds in 8 weeks. I mean, they do not mess around. So if you're not losing weight, they know you're cheating. So they do like almost ketone testing, but it's like other stuff. Pretty crazy.
But it's like, what are you supposed to do with that when you're done? Like when I was done with that, I know there was supposed to be like some, I didn't do it right when I came off. There was like some transition thing where you can like build up, you can start eating brown rice, you can start doing this and that. But I'm like, you can't maintain that lifestyle forever. And I'm not going to be injecting myself. It was bad. I regret that decision.
Yeah. And honestly, well, I would do another round of Ozempic, but I can't, it affected my eyesight. So I just can't do it again. I mean, it's not worth affecting it any more than it already has to do another round of it. So sadly, I cannot do the Ozempic. I wonder if Mangiorno, whatever it's called, causes the same side effects. Mangiorno or whatever. Not doing it. Just saying.
Well, you can't make, that's the problem with those things. Like, unless you have a medical condition where you need that all the time. So here in the US, it's even hard. Like Kimmy doing it for her diabetes, and you're not even qualifying right now for your insurance to cover it, right?
My insurance just doesn't cover injectables, and it's okay. So you have to get a prior authorization, which they got for me, because when I was on the Ozempic, my diabetes went down 2 points, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like it went down to pre-diabetes, so I wasn't even considered diabetic. And I had lost some weight. I don't think I lost even a ton of weight with the Ozempic. I think it really helped my diabetes. I think it helped. I was dieting and it helped a little bit, but it's like $1,000 a month if you pay
on. Which is insane. For someone that needs it, $1,000 a month. I live in Canada. I get a script from a doctor. I pay out of pocket. It's not covered through my insurance because I don't need it. And I only pay $268 a month. I used to joke to Kimmy.
Well, maybe I should send you the money and then you get the Ozempic and send it to me.
Send it to Kimmy.
I mean,
we're not putting that on record.
Yeah, it's just crazy because I'm like, okay, like I have to actually call them and see. So the pharmacy was like, no, they did give you a little bit of a discount. It went from like $1,185 to like $1,000 and something. I'm like, well, that's not a big enough discount for me.
Drop a zero in there.
I know. I'm just
a
like
a whole digit to go down. Yeah.
So it's just frustrating.
Well, and yeah, like, so unless you're gonna be on it constantly, which here, at least in the US, that's not possible, even like for like Kimmy, someone who needs it, who like it literally
can't get it.
Took her and out of diabetes like marker. It's like,
yeah, which is crazy. In 3 months' time. That was in 3 months' time.
Which is awesome. And like, I know a lot of people who are like obese. It has, even though they have come off of it, they talk about how it has like almost changed their, like something about their relationship with food or their chemistry with that, where it is helping. But you can't, no one's going to cover that forever for you to be on. So it's like, you really have to make those food changes and stuff when you can. Because
I'll tell you what, I went a little crazy, which was my own fault, but I still have the Ozempic taste in my mouth. So you get this odd tin taste. Kimmy, I don't know if you got it because
I did get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like Rachel, a metallic taste kind of.
And I've been off it for like 4 months and I still every day get that taste in my mouth.
I was on Saxenda for like 6 months, I think. And I stopped right before my hysterectomy. I believe that I definitely have had the impact for like the 9 or 10 months since, in the sense that I feel full faster. I don't feel like I need, like I eat as much or as often, in the same way that when Saxenda was working, it sort of like slows the whole pace of things. So I don't know. I feel like it changed my relationship to food a little bit in a crazy swing way when I started, because I already didn't eat until like 2 o'clock because I'm just like all kittywampus and off kilter. So it was kind of hard for me to remember to like not be, suddenly it's 5 o'clock and I'm just a bitch, you know?
Like,
I had to focus on eating and drinking enough. But I'll tell you, it was not worth it. At that time for me, I was thinking to be on Saxenda would mean that I would lose some weight and that I could heal my body faster. And in turn, the constipation and the clay poops, and just putting that out there since we're mid-episode, you're only here if you're a trooper. But I was having these issues that were just not great. And so when I had my hysterectomy and I was healing and like I couldn't be pushing in the way that I had to be pushing to deal with that, I stopped everything. So, I mean, it really is interesting how long it lasted.
Well, yeah. When I was on Ozempic, it made me really sick. I mean, if anyone's had really bad morning sickness, you literally feel like you're pregnant. Like, and it makes you, like, I didn't really have an appetite. So obviously that helps, as I never ate in between meals when I was on it. And it made a lot of food taste weird. Like, one night we're having salad and I'm going, Neil, why do this lettuce taste like dirt? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it tastes like dirt. And he's like, it tastes fine to me. And it's like, that would just happen every once in a while where it would just make food taste weird.
Like so a Coke tastes like a Dr. Pepper. Everything's just a little cockamamie.
Just any weird taste. Yeah.
It's just certain things. It wasn't everything. It's just certain things. And then it also just made you like not feel good. So like in general, like I feel like it did take away some food cravings that like normally I would have. But I felt like shit. Like literally felt like crap. But then like what happens is that your body eventually gets used to it and that stuff like kind of like fades a little bit. But then it doesn't seem to work as well. And then when I'm on my period, the shit don't work at all. I'm not even kidding.
It's like, oh, the period overcomes all.
Yeah. I'm like, nope, I am hungry today. But you know, like it did help. And I did it in conjunction with eating healthy. Like I was definitely on a thing of like doing good with That's when right, I was eating and stuff. But yeah, I was like, I just felt like crap all the time and then forget it. The first round made me constipated, like, and I mean bad. It was really bad. The second was the opposite. And I was like, it's just like, I would definitely take it again to help me lose weight and get my sugar down, like, because that's worth it. But like, it's nothing I would want to do long term. Like, I'd like to go on it for like maybe a year and like to get my weight a little bit down and to get my diabetes down. It's not something I'd want to do long term.
Yeah. I experienced the bathroom issues, TMI. Sorry, listeners. Like, I've never, I mean, you hear about it when you take that stuff, but it was like, and I'll be honest, the pharmacist that I went to, this little tiny pharmacist and pharmacy, well, family owned pharmacy. And he said, it's like a miracle. He's never seen anything like it since Fen-Phen. And he said, the reason why most people stop it is they can't afford it. That's literally what he said. He's like, I've seen nothing like this since Fen-Phen. It's a miracle.
Oh my God.
When I don't know that Fen-Phen is a miracle. I was so perplexed. I was like, it's affecting my vision. It's kind of scaring. So like, again, I would do another round. I'm not going to risk my eyesight to do another round of Ozempic. Just stop eating.
Jen, you would have to put on a down jacket, a vest, and then a sweater over it to get a friggin' Ozempic pen right now. You look like Randy from that Christmas story. What is that? What is that? 34th Miracles or something?
Yeah. And it's like, I'm like kind of, like going back to what Jamie was saying in the beginning, the correlation with not only, I think, caregiving and parenting, but mm-hmm. also a mental health and in mm-hmm. weight loss and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I was, like Jamie said, I was small. I was tiny when I got pregnant at 135 pounds and I was almost 5'9". So that's, you know, that's small. I gained 72 pounds when I was pregnant with my son and I lost like 45. So I was kind of like maybe like 25 pounds overweight at that time. But I thought even then, I could only weigh 185 again. I thought at that time, like, I was big. Like, I did have a little belly from being pregnant still, and I always carry weight on my face quickly. So, like, I never had experienced that before. So, it's like, in my mind, I was heavy because I wasn't small. I was small my whole life. So, I didn't, like, it was hard for me to, like, internalize that. And then Alyssa came and I gained 30 pounds with her and lost all 30 pounds. Actually, I lost 29. I couldn't lose that last effing pound.
Never. It's always there.
I was like 184 when I got pregnant with her and I weighed 185 after I had her. But still wasn't like, was just a little bit overweight at that point. And then she got diagnosed. And I think I talked about this before, but I ended up going to a nutritionist and I ended up gaining like 70 pounds or something. But it was slowly. It was like in the course of a year and a half, but it was after she was diagnosed. And the nutritionist is like, when you go through something like this, this is something like a divorce, a death, death. Losing somebody. It's like the same process, your body, like internally. Okay. And she goes, it goes one or two ways. Either your metabolism speeds up and people will like lose weight, or it slows down and you'll gain. And she's like, your metabolism just slowed down. Due to basically like it's a stress response, so it doesn't necessarily matter as much what you're eating or not eating. It's just your metabolism starts slowing down, you're gonna put on weight, and if you're not making the best choices on top of it, it's gonna affect you greater. And that was like kind of eye-opening, but like I was in the midst of hell at that point, so like there really wasn't much I could do about it. And from my generation, it's like nobody exercised. Like, I don't remember anybody like having gym memberships. Like, I don't know if that's just like where I came from other times. So like, I never really was like a big exerciser. Like, I walked and did stuff naturally, and I chased a little child around who didn't stop, who was in the toddler stage for 10 years. So like, you know, but I did have also, when my sister was in active addiction, her boyfriend of 5 years broke up with her and walked away. No, nothing. And she was already in active addiction. So like this happening just sent her off the rails. Like, I mean, I literally thought she was going to die. Like, I honest to God did. Every day I waited for that phone call. I lost 24 pounds within 2 weeks, like just gone. And I know people are like, I wish I could do that. Like, that is not what you want to do, because the extreme. No, I'm just saying, no, people always say that. Like, and I joked like, oh, thank you, Mary. But like, it was not a good time. And then in the course of 4 months, I had dropped almost 60 pounds. Because my body was just under that constant stress, that like my metabolism was so heightened because my heart rate and my anxiety was so bad. And I couldn't even eat like sometimes because I was like so sick to my stomach with like my nerves. So like I've experienced kind of both sides of that. Of course, when things kind of got a little under control, like I did put on not all of the weight, but some of the weight back. And I notice with me when I'm depressed, like I've tried to explain this to my doctor and she like doesn't get it. And like, it's not, I eat less when I'm depressed. Same. I eat less. Like I lose my interest in food as much and I still will gain weight, even though I could be eating more in the summer and not be depressed and not be gaining weight. Maybe I'm not losing it when I'm not like really doing the right thing, but like not necessarily gaining it. So like your mental health ties into that so strongly that it's, you know, you have to work a lot harder, but like you're not going to work harder when you're depressed. Like you're not going to get up and like start walking, going for walks and stuff. So yeah, I feel like that's like a big, huge challenge to it. And then if you have kids like some of us do that are extremely picky eaters, it's also challenging because then you're like having dinner, then you're making something else for that child. So then there's like, you know, mm-hmm. chicken nuggets sitting around or whatever you're giving them. And you're just apt to like pick at that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a huge picker. Like if I know something's there, I want to have it. Like I definitely have
something. I have to eat it till it's gone. No control.
Yeah. I know there's queso in the fridge, so I want to have it. I don't need it. I'm not even hungry. But because I know
it's there. Doesn't need queso. We all need queso. I know,
but I'm just saying, like, it's like, if my husband buys chips, I'm like, don't buy chips because I'll eat them. Nobody else will touch them. Like, I'm like, how do you just not touch it when you know it's there? I have it. I have to go and have it. So it's like, that's so hard for me sometimes. It's like an absent-minded thing where I'll just like pick without even like realizing that I'm doing it.
I do that too.
And then you kind of get like in these funks, like where I've gotten into these funks where I'm like, well, I'm never going to lose weight anyways. Like I can never do it. Why even bother? Mm-hmm. And then like, then I don't even try. And then I kick myself in the ass. And then when I do start losing weight, I'm like, oh, if I was doing this for all this time, I could have lost like X amount of weight. Like, it's just such a battle. And like Jen kind of said, I mean, I'm not as strict as her, rigid as her, but like I am to the point where when I start doing it, sometimes it's all or nothing for me. It's no chips. It's no dessert. Mm-hmm. It's no, like, I just have to stay away from that stuff. And that's not even my challenge. Like once I get away from that stuff, it's the real food that is a little bit harder for me. Cause you know, you go out to dinner and it's like, do you really want to sit there and have something healthy when you're at a restaurant? Like I didn't pay money for it. I sure don't.
But you know, the other thing too is like with our sleeping, with our kids, I know for me, when I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I want to eat a bagel.
Oh, yeah.
I want the pizza that's in my freezer. I just want to eat carbs and I feel crappy and I'm tired and it's when I'm really tired. And that's no excuse. I could make better choices. People do it every day. Ooh. But when I'm in that really tired, my kid doesn't sleep mode, I just eat.
Well, your body wants the energy from somewhere. But yeah. I always joke too, like whenever, so we record on Monday nights. We usually stay up really late. I always end up eating. And I always joke, like, food just tastes so much better after 10 p.m. Is that
And it? I feel like it helps you stay awake. I really do. Oh, me on the East Coast over here, that's way later than you guys. It's like, literally, that's what I do. It's like, I'll snack on stuff because it like, I don't know, it just keeps me going.
So we're all our own. We can blame each other. It's just.
Yes.
Well, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Okay.
This
extra 15 is your fault.
But that morphs, like, I know we went off on the sleep thing a lot, one of the episodes, but
yeah,
it does, because you do that, it really morphs your relationship with the food mm-hmm. where it mm-hmm. becomes you're searching for that energy. And then the food, I think, tastes better when I'm exhausted and tired and I'm just like piling it in my mouth because I can't think. I don't have time to like worry about this and that because I'm exhausted. But then like, then I start craving those things all the time because I'm associating mm-hmm. it with that like energy. So it messes up my relationship with food so bad. And like Kimmy's talking about, if I'm really depressed or going through something, I'll forget to eat. And that's also not healthy because once I do eat again, it's like probably way too much or, you know, and it's not good to deplete your body as well. But I would say to the day-to-day with like the mild things, I do cope a lot with food and I also associate food with like comfort and coping. So it's like both those things.
Fight or flight we go through too with our kids a lot, really. Yeah. Like when you come down from like a big like burst of something going on, that's when like a lot of times when my body like kind of goes back to normal. Then my body's like, feed me. Like,
I gained the most amount of weight after her diagnosis.
Yeah, because it's like
after her diagnosis.
Your body is like so amped up, and that's mm-hmm. that's speeding up your metabolism. It's creating hunger.
I would say around the time Jesse got diagnosed, but even younger. So me and my sister and her friend and like my mom, we all had Fitbits at the time. And you know, you could do like those contests who get the most steps. Hands down, I always got the most steps. Not even because I was exercising, because I was chasing my son around and my nephew at the time who I was watching. And then I eventually had another baby too. And they're like, oh my gosh, Jamie, you have so many steps. So I laughed when you said that, Kimmy, about like moving. Like I was burning so many calories, but just putting on the weight because of the way my body was reacting to everything. And I'm also like, I'm kind of oddly a health nut. Like I know a lot about food and what I should and shouldn't be putting in my body. And when I'm doing good, I'm like, that is like, why would I eat that crap? That is literally disgusting for your body. It's so
like, you have more of a food is fuel relationship.
Surviving. Yes.
When you're not in like a snack attack graze situ, like the in-betweens, right?
Yes.
It's expensive to eat good. That's another part of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and it's not convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Rachel.
Yeah. No, it's
ramen,
not.
25 cents.
But I was watching something and I know there's 1,000 documentaries on it, but like fast food makes your body crave garbage. I mean, it's so bad for your brain. Like it's so bad, but it's like you crave it more. It's like getting through that hump of like not eating that
and
more. It's hard.
The DoorDash text messages you at 4:10 every day or whatever. Every like, hey girl, what's for dinner?
Come back, Jennifer.
The app just puts up the M. It doesn't even like say anything. It just puts the M up in my thing. Like, you know, you want me.
It's like, come back. That's we miss so you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I haven't always done like as a heavier person. I focused more, as I talked about in the self-love series, about like loving myself instead of changing my weight. We went through a wicked adoption process, which I can see there was so much grief and so much turmoil within that for all the years in between like getting married and becoming Seeley's. And then of course, becoming Seeley's is a whole situation. But for me, my like weight loss or relationship to food has had so much more to do with both my mental health and also my migraines. So I don't necessarily live in like a lane of a healthy, certainly I'm not in a healthy lifestyle lane, but I'm like, avoid nightshades, which are like onions, garlic, peppers, stuff like that. I can't use non-fat stuff because often that's like these fake sugar shit things hidden in. I don't eat pork because I have some strange allergy. I can't, like, if I want to take control of my love handles, I can stop eating gluten. I know like I feel great when that happens. I've even tried like eating right for my blood type or looking into Ayurvedic diets and whatever. But baseline, I'm struggling to get a goddamn meal on every table and like keep my sanity. So my relationship with food right now is like, what's in the kitchen? What is the time that I have? How fast will she eat it? Like I'm balancing so many different things that have nothing to do with the best way to fuel my body. This is not a temple right now. This is like a shit show.
This is the dumpster behind the temple.
Yes. Yes.
I tell you what though, when I eat crappy, or even if I have a couple glasses of wine, which I've been drinking a little bit more lately since I've been binging on eating, I don't sleep as well. My body hurts. And obviously I'm sluggish in the day, but it's the sleep at night that I notice the most. I do not get a good night's sleep when I'm eating junk food. I just don't. My body wakes up all night long.
Don't you think fasting, like when you stop eating at 7 o'clock, you sleep so much better than...
Oh yes, hands down.
Even if you're eating it's like, or you know, like an occasional trash, it's like, if you stop eating at 6 or 7, it's just golden. I mean, so much better quality of
that
life.
That first week of doing it is freaking torture, but...
Well, of course, for me, because I go to bed at like 1 or 2, so that's like a whole day.
I know.
But that's hard, too, because then you're up these hours of like, like, I find it really hard when, like, I find the 3 a.m. wake ups worse than being up all night. Just me personally, I'd rather be up all night than be woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start my day. It's really hard because by 4 a.m., I'm ready to order a pizza and just go in for it because my body, I'm so tired. I just want to eat.
Well, and it's, what do they call it? Circadian rhythm?
Rhythms. Circadian, I think.
Whatever. But that does, I mean, it's proven that lines up with like your body functioning in those times. So our metabolism, no matter what time you're going to bed, is shutting down around 7 p.m. or really when right now in the winter, even earlier when the sun goes down. So when we're eating a lot at night or whatever, that's affecting us. Am I still eating a lot? Yes. But it's just adding to that. Like, it is really crazy how our sleep and all that is aligned with our bodies and how they function. But it's hard when you have a person in your life whose body, mm-hmm. for some reason, isn't on that track, and you're their caretaker and you're the person having to deal with that. So your body is going to crave all those things because you don't have any control over it.
We took Alyssa to a nutritionist when she was around 12. We got a grant to bring her to the specialized nutritionist, and they put her on a diet, which in sense we all had to be on this diet. It was called the simple carbohydrate diet. So it's not completely gluten-free, but basically you don't have anything processed. So you can have whatever meat, whatever vegetables, mm-hmm. whatever fruits, but you couldn't have anything that was processed at all. And we went on this diet for 4 months, the whole family, because we couldn't have, it's not like we could be like, oh, Alyssa, you can't have Pop-Tarts, but like your sisters are gonna. We just had to get rid of it all. And the kids did eat other stuff. If they weren't home, I ate other stuff. Like when I was at work, I'd get like a sandwich or something for lunch. And we all lost a ton of weight, not really dieting, just by eating this different stuff. I remember my head feeling so clear. It didn't do the miraculous turnaround that was supposed to cure Alyssa's autism. That didn't happen, unfortunately. And it was a very, very, very expensive to keep up with. But like, you couldn't have ketchup. What we could have for a snack was raisins, or like we made these cinnamon cookies that you made with like almond flour. And they're not the best things. They were the best things to us because that was like the closest to junk food that we could have.
The only thing, yeah.
A banana was like heaven. We're like, oh my God, this is so good. And then you made pancakes out of apples and all this stuff. And then we went off of it because we were spending like, and this was back in like 2008, we were probably spending over $400 a week in groceries. We couldn't afford it. But we all lost weight. My son, like, he went down to classes in wrestling. He went down two weight classes in wrestling. Like, and he was just doing it at home. Like, he was still eating regular stuff outside. I think Neil, like, I lost like 20 pounds. We all lost weight. And when we went back to regular eating, like, I couldn't eat Doritos for like a year. Like, you can just taste all the additives. It was like crazy. Ketchup took me like, and I'm a ketchup person, took me probably like 3 years to be able to full, like, I could do like a dab of ketchup, or, you know, maybe on a burger, like a small amount. Mm-hmm. I couldn't dip ketchup. All I could taste was the crap. Like, it was like,
right now.
It was the craziest thing, and you don't realize it. I think doing that diet and then like going back to regular eating was like, you could taste the difference in so much stuff. It was like,
I totally get, even when I just do like a low carb or something where, like, because a big thing for me is no matter what type of diet I do, I usually try to eat like just more naturally, just cutting as much processed stuff as I can. Mm-hmm. And when you do go back to that stuff, and it's like a week into anything you do, you're like, why was I eating so much of that? What it does to your brain. My mind's clear. I have so much more energy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just insane. Like, why can't I do this all the time? So on that note, before we go, I thought maybe we could go around and give like advice as to what does work for us. Although we're all clearly doing really great right now, but in general.
Hey, I'm on day one. Okay. I'm 12 and a half hours in. Speak for yourself.
Padlocking the fridge and hitting me with a club and knocking me out.
Put Kimmy in a coma for 6 months. No carbs, just IV during that time.
Yes.
But Jamie, you're right. And I'll just real quick. When I binged for a bit, when I knew I was going to like start tracking today, my body was craving vegetables yesterday. I was literally craving carrots. Like, who the f*** craves carrots? You know, it was like my body was like, enough. Give me some nutrition, lady.
I've gotten to points before where I'm eating so bad that I'm like, I'm trying to get away from dieting in general. Like, I don't want to be on diets all the time. But that transition has been easier before because my body's just like done. Like, it's like, okay, eat food. Like, but anyway, so what has worked for you guys? This is what works for me normally. When I'm never, unless something major happens in my life where I have to, and hopefully maybe I would do it then, I don't know if I'd ever be a person who could completely be off sugar all the time or completely never have a carb, all that different stuff. It's just built in who I am. So I really try to find that balance. But when I know that I, like right now, I'm still recovering from Valentine's Day. Like, I am a sugar addict. Like, I'm not even kidding. And I always tell these women, when I have to like break off of it, no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm just going to eat better, I have to. What's so funny?
I am still recovering.
I am still recovering.
From
Becky. Sugar constantly.
Hi, I'm Jaime Ramos. I'm still in recovery.
You know what? They say that sugar is just as addictive as heroin, but heroin does worse things to your body. Anyway. Ooh,
that was what I meant to say about Ozempic. They're using it in rehab facility now because it's taking away the craving of drugs and alcohol.
Oh, that's really cool.
It takes
cool.
all your cravings away. So they found the side effects where people stopped, they stopped wanting to drink. So they're now actually going to start using it, talking about it in treatment centers. Anyway, sorry, James.
Does it really take away the craving or does it just make you so sick? Like,
well, that might be it actually.
But anyway, so what works for me is I have to like, first I cut out all candy, sugary sugar stuff. And then I translate like that to like cutting, like I do that for like 2 weeks and then I cut down on like not eating as many carbs. But I really have to break myself of that addiction. Like when we have candy and sugar around, I'm like just popping it in all the time. And like I crave it even though I don't want it. Like today I ate a Hershey's Kiss. Hershey Kiss are disgusting.
They're like a candle of a chocolate.
But I like ate a birthday it anyway. Candle. Because I like, yeah. Like I just needed like the sugar. And then me and my daughter make cupcakes and I was like, I'm not even a huge cake person. But I was like, okay, I'll just eat one of these even without the frosting because I'm not a huge frosting person. I ended up eating 4 cupcakes. Only 2 had frosting. But it's just like such an issue for me. So that's all I'll say for me. Like I'm not one that's big on like taking everything away. Laughing. But I have to break myself of like literally have to break myself from those addictions because I just know my body. And then like a month in, I can go back and be like, okay, I can have like a candy every once in a while, but even then I could manage it better than, you know, right now as I'm like scratching my neck.
I'm just like, Jamie, I'm literally laughing because Jasmine sent home cupcakes from the bridal shower and they were in, we had the whole car situation where Kara's car broke down. So they got left in one of the cars and I knew they were in there and I was like, oh, I want those cupcakes. And Neil's, so I finally got them, brought them in the house. I ate 3 of them and then I felt so sick.
Our cupcakes?
Like, did I need 3 cupcakes? What is wrong with me? And like you, I'm not a huge cupcake person. Like every once in a while, I'll have a cupcake. I don't dislike them, but unless it's like the Hostess cupcakes, that's a whole different story. But yeah, 3 of them. I'm like, literally, what is wrong with me? Like, I don't know.
It's how it goes. So I don't know. That's what works for me. And really for me, it's like when I am good about it, it's just finding that balance. And I'll say when I am doing the other things right, when I am able, which I don't always have control over, could get some sleep. And when I do exercise, it's easier for me to control the foods. Like I'm never perfect, but at least I can maintain it better and not go crazy and want fast food like 50 million times a week.
So I think for me, it's just a matter of like getting myself in that right mindset. That's like the first step. And then like sometimes if I even just start with having healthy dinners, like that's like kind of the first step. And then I can kind of work on the daytime stuff. And then the healthy dinner's already covered. But a huge thing with that is like me sitting down on a Sunday and figuring out what we're going to have every night for the week.
Yeah.
Communicating that to Neil so we can get those things from the store and then like sticking to that. Because when we're doing a day by day thing, it's just so hard. And then you end up, someone's tired or you just end up getting stuff that's not as great because it's just easier, cheaper, faster. Drinking water, which is a struggle for me. But once I get there, that definitely helps. I feel like that helps you not be as hungry too.
Yeah.
So it's like if I'm hungry and especially like after lunch before I get home, that's like my kind of like time that I have a struggle, especially when I'm actively trying not to eat. And if I drink water in that space, it definitely helps. And then just having, I know I said this before, but just having that good stuff on hand, like if I go food shopping and bring stuff to work, like and have some healthy choices there. So if I do get hungry, I'm like, okay, I can go have this watermelon or I can go have like, you know, whatever healthy snack there is instead of like searching around for anything that I can find. Those things definitely help. And then when I'm like really trying to really stick to it too, because sometimes like I'll eat good during the week and then the weekends I'm like, eh, who's counting?
Yeah.
If we are going to go out to eat or something, I try to like plan in my mind, like, okay, where can we go to eat that has some healthy choices? Like what healthy choices can I have? Granted, I can get to that restaurant and be like, actually, no.
Or eat your husband's food. That's what I do.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Oh yeah, I'll get something healthy. I do this at work sometimes too for lunch. I'll get a healthy option for lunch and then Kara never finishes her food. So I'm like, hey, I'll take one of those sweet chili chicken tenders. But doing that kind of helps. And then just giving yourself forgiveness. Like I used to do the thing where I'm like, oh, it's all done now. Like I might as well not be on a diet because I effed up. And when I'm not doing that and kind of being like, okay, I had a little more for dinner, like I'll do better tomorrow. And the same thing, the weekends are so hard is because sometimes we don't necessarily have the food in the house for healthy eating. Like,
yeah, you're like at the end of the
so
list.
So like what I was doing when I was doing good is I'd go out on Saturday morning and get stuff for the weekend. Like I'd get stuff just for Saturday and Sunday. So like that helped. But It's really hard, I feel like, to stick with all those things when you're in a mental health funk or like something else is happening. You just kind of like it, just making it a priority is, I think, the hardest part. And once you're able to do that, I think it comes a lot easier. Unfortunately, I do this thing where that I do good for a while, and then for some reason a holiday comes or a vacation or something, and then I kind of like have to go back to zero. So I don't know, maybe I'll get it one day.
Well, that reminded me, something I forgot to say is, like, I'm big on, when I am trying to get back to that balance, is bringing in those healthier foods, which I'm making myself sound horrible. We do have like vegetables in our home, but like I always try to eat something healthy first, even if I'm going to eat something bad. And that helps me a lot, like not overindulge. And the same thing, if I'm going out to eat, I'll eat something at home that's like somewhatly healthy before. Maybe it's just like a little Greek yogurt or like a fruit or something like that. So that way I'm not at the restaurant like going crazy. But there's also times when I'm bad where I purposely go to restaurants starving because I know it's going to taste so much better.
Yes.
And the water thing too made me think of, I don't know the exact stat, but it's something crazy. Like 75% of the time we think we're hungry, we're actually thirsty.
Yep, I've heard that too.
Okay, well, I just want to disagree. I know the whole world's against this, but first of all, I'm not a fan of my Stanley cup that I overpaid for. Number two, water makes me hungry. This, when I finish this one, I'll be at 120 ounces for the day. I'm like when I'm in and I'm dieting, I'm all about the water every day. It's hard to drink water. Like, if you have to make a conscious effort.
Oh, it's hard.
It's three of these freaking to drink. Like, it's a lot of water to drink in a day.
Once I get like three waters in, then they go down so easy, but it's like getting those first three in, that's hard.
Well, and you also have to be
careful. My organs are doing this. Thank you, finally, for giving me.
Yeah, I start craving it. Once I start drinking it more, my body starts craving more and more.
When I also imagine like my muscles stuff unsticking to my bones, like it's really weird.
I know.
But you have to be careful too. If you drink too much water, you start to deplete yourself of salt. And so your body starts craving salt too. So it's like a balance.
Yeah, I don't ever have to worry about that.
I was talking to a friend who was telling me that she saw a urologist recently, and that doctor told her specifically that you're supposed to have like 22 ounces of water a day. It was something like that, like something so ridiculous. I was like, what, girl? That's less than one Nalgene bottle. Like, I was having a flip out because I come from this school of like more water, more time, like not to the point of drowning your organs, like the no salt issues, but.
Yeah, like 6 to 8 glasses.
Certainly not 22 ounces. Yeah. But 6 to 8 glasses are like 8 ounce glasses when they made that god dang.
The Google
says the same
90.
Year they made a food pyramid. It was like 1951.
Google says like 96 ounces for a woman a day, my age. But
yeah, Google's not a urologist trying to, I mean, I don't know.
Well, it depends on your height and weight too, which is individual.
Yeah, I mean, but like, do you know how much water I'd have to drink to pee one off that? Half your body weight thing, a lot of water, people.
That's a lot of ounces for me too. For me, the thing that works best is, like the girls have said, meal planning, but I really have to tune that into the schedule. So like, I'm not going to put some Mexican food situation on a Monday that takes me forever to cook when we also have craft class, which, by the way, we don't make it to craft class, so I can make whatever I want on Mondays, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I have to adjust all of the things together and think about my calendar and this meal plan. Otherwise, it's like throwing away grocery money. Mm-hmm. Then when it gets, I take like the meal plan to the Target app. I do the Target app, but I have to put it in the fridge in order. So like, it's kind of silly, but take the tacos. It has to be like the shredded cheese, the lettuce, the everything that I'm going to do for that meal is sort of together in the fridge so that I'm not forgetting about two ingredients and then wasting all that money too, because I feel this like wicked guilt for throwing away all the groceries of the shit I didn't cook because I was exhausted and DoorDashed instead, you know.
That's like my second favorite meme. I know I talked about my other favorite meme the other day, but it's like, I wish I was the person who I was when I bought these vegetables.
No, literally.
Yes, I feel like we should take this pressure off of being like the Pinterest menus and the, you know, just perfect diet plans. And unless it works for you to be so structured and within the rules on things, I feel like it's really about grace and just doing better tomorrow, like beating your best day and, I don't know, honoring all the different things. There's more than just a diet going on in my life. There's like lots of variables.
So you drink that makes you think you should drink that water. I mean, it makes your body go,
I just have to pee all the time. I think a big thing for me now is trying to be healthier to like, mm-hmm. along my life for my children. And that's like in a lot of different ways. But food and stuff is a big part of that. And also giving my children those healthy habits, which we talked about a little bit before. Again, like I said, like the skinniest I've ever been hasn't magically made me love myself or made me happy with myself. So when it comes to like weight loss and food for me, it's much more about finding that balance and feeling better in general about myself, not like the quickest ways to lose weight or anything like that. At this point in my life, I don't really have a reason to worry about or do that. I'm not going to be going in a bikini anywhere. I'm not going to this or that anywhere, but I just want to feel better and not even just about myself, just feel better.
Yeah. In general. And like my thing is just to be like, I've been heavy for a long time and I never, like, it never stopped me from doing anything. I was always able to like do things, move around, chase kids, work. I'm at the point now where I can feel it because I just get out of breath easy. Like sometimes, like sometimes it's a struggle, like getting up off the floor, stuff like that. I don't like that stuff. You know, if we're on vacation, I want to be able to like move around and not have to like stop and like rest. And I mean, I'm not 90 for crying out loud, but like that part of it bothers me and I want to change that part, but the moving around is so hard because that just takes energy that I don't have. But if I can get the water in and the sleep in and the nutrients in, maybe then I can have enough energy to move around a little more.
Yeah. All right, people. Well, I hope you learned something or related to our
maybe learn not what not to do. I don't know.
If you ever want to hang out with us and just eat, it will be a good time. I don't know if it'll be the healthiest time, but it will be a good time. But have a great Monday and or whenever you're listening to this. And thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Talk Like a Mother Parenting Autism podcast. If you are enjoying our podcast, make sure to rate and review us wherever you listen. And if you'd like to support us, you can become a subscriber. Just check out the description of this episode. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram for more content, and we'll see you next time.